This is Ruth Blue interviewing Helen Davies on the 27th of November at her home in Odium for Thalidomide and Oral History. Helen, have you seen and signed the copyright and consent form?
Yes, I have.
And would you mind telling me your full name, age, date and place of birth?
Right, my Helen Mary Davies. My date of birth was 18761. What was the last one?
And place of birth.
Place of birth, Farnborough in Hampshire.
Just down the road.
Yeah, yeah. Haven't gone very far.
So first of all, I'd like to just ask you a bit about childhood and birth and your family and school life.
Right.
And any early medical interventions you might have had right. to go through. Could you tell me a bit about your family background, who your parents were, what work they did, and if you have any brothers and sisters?
Right, let's see. My dad was an airframe fitter at the Royal Aircraft Establishment in Farnborough, and my mum, she didn't work, or she was just like a housewife, really. I've got two older sisters. My eldest sister's got, well, they didn't actually know until probably about 15, 20 years ago, but she got a condition called tuberous sclerosis. Don't know whether you've heard of that.
Yeah.
But so when she was young, she was very hyperactive, and she had fits and things like that. So my mum had her hands sort of very full with her, you know, because she didn't sleep. She wouldn't sleep, and, you know. Anyway, my other sister came along, and then I came along quite shortly after. So.
Do you know, moving on to think about thalidomide and your parents' decision to use the drug, do you
right.
know who prescribed it for your mum?
Yes, I know. My mum had gone to the doctors because she wasn't feeling very well, and her period was late. The doctor said, "Oh, I'll give you some this drug which would help you." So she didn't know at the time that she was pregnant, but she thought she might be. But at that time, you had to wait for like two lots of missed periods, didn't you, before they said you were pregnant? So
yeah.
Anyway, she went back. So he said, "Well, I'll give you these for 2 weeks and come back in 2 weeks." So she came back in 2 weeks, and he said, "Oh yeah, I think you're pregnant." And so he said, "Would you like some more of this stuff?" She said, "No, I don't think I'll take any more." So quite lucky there, really.
Yes, yeah.
So
she took it for morning sickness.
Yeah, she was feeling sick and sort of tired, and but then my older sister was, you know, she was sort of. You know, it could have been that as well, but that's why she went to the doctor, because she was feeling sick and sort of unwell.
But and so she took it for about...
It was 2 weeks she took it for,
yeah. And apart from that, did your mum have a good pregnancy, apart from morning sickness?
I think so, yeah. I don't recall her saying that she was unwell or anything.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Is it something that your mum's been... happy to talk about her decision to use thalidomide, or has it been difficult for her to
say? Yeah, no, I think she's, I mean, I've never, I mean, it's not her fault. I've never sort of, you know, put it down to her fault taking it. I mean, the doctor prescribed it, so it wasn't, you know, nothing she could have done about it.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we've always sort of, well, I mean, she died sort of about 6 years ago now, so... But she was always quite willing to talk about it. She said, she was giving it. Doctors gave it to her, and you know,
she took it in good faith.
Yeah, as you do, don't you?
Of course, yeah. Where were you born?
A place called Farley House in Farnborough. It was like a maternity sort of home. Everyone in Farnborough was born there, I think. All my friends from school were born there.
Right, okay. Yeah. So the local birth.
Yeah.
And do you know if your mum had a good birth?
I think so, yes. I think she did, actually, yeah. I think it was quite quick. Mm.
And when was she first aware that you'd been born with an impairment?
I think she's told me they took her away and took me away for quite a bit longer than they should have done, and then they sort of wrapped me up, apparently, because it was only really my hands at the time that was the problem, and they said, "Well, there's a bit of a problem, you know." And they gave her to her sort of after a little, you know, probably a bit longer than you would have done, you know, and Then she, but she said it doesn't matter to me, she said. So,
that's good.
Mm-hmm.
And because this is an oral history interview, could you describe your level of impairment?
Well, at the time, when I was born, it was I only I was born with six fingers on each hand, and no thumb. So, at that time, that was all that we knew what was the matter with me. And then, when I was, I had sort of surgery on that I was only about two or three when I had the first sort of surgery on it, so I don't really remember that. But then when I was five, I had problems with my kidney, I had to have kidney removed because it had got hydronephrosis, and the ureter apparently was all the wrong shape and everything. I got a ureter seal in the bladder, which had blocked everything off, so it had died anyway, but you know, the whole thing had gone. So I had that out when I was five. And then sort of when I got to sort of like teenage years, my sort of hips were sort of getting, you know, I'd left school, and as you do when you leave school, you don't do as much sport as you probably should do, and I was sort of, my hips were sort of getting quite stiff and sore, and so I had an x-ray. I don't, I can't remember how it worked out now. I went to see the doctor, and he didn't really know. I think I had an x-ray then. And then they found that I got this protrusio. That's where the acetabulum goes right up inside the pelvis, and it was the wrong, instead of being sort of nice and round, it was sort of oval-shaped.
Nice.
So, they sort of, the hip joint can't move so well, and I got sort of arthritis on the sort of around the edges of it. They didn't want to do anything at the time. They sort of just, you know, because I was living a normal life and working normally. It was just my hips got a bit sore and stiff at times. So
yeah. And they think that was all thalidomide related.
I didn't sort of apply for any sort of compensation until probably about 10 years ago, because I had to end up with hip replacements, and I thought, well, if it is due to thalidomide, I suppose I should do something about it, really. And they said that they couldn't say that it wasn't thalidomide that caused it, but it was very rare, apparently, so they put it down as, it does cause hip problems, you know, they have people with that.
And also kidney problems as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when I had my my first baby, they found that I got a subseptate uterus, where it got a sort of partition sort of down the middle. So he was sort of lying sort of crossways, sort of. So he used to have his head tucked under here and down there, and nobody sort of really spotted it. I was booked to had cesarean, because of my hips. When I had it, they discovered it after when I had the cesarean that I got this subseptate uterus.
So various things that sort of, some of them were obvious at birth, and then some of them
have come out as the years have gone
on. Do you know how long you and your mum were in hospital for? Was it long before you came home?
I'm not quite sure, actually. I don't think it was very long. I'm not entirely sure, but I don't think it was more than a week.
And you came straight home to the family home after that. And do you know any idea how any of your family, your other family members, reacted to you being born with the six fingers and the no thumbs?
I don't really. No, actually, I don't remember. They just, I know what young kids are like. They just take you as you are, really, don't they? They don't.
Yeah.
Nobody. I don't recall any sort of reaction or anything from anybody.
And so, what? How old were you when you had that operation to change your hands?
I was about two or three.
Two or three. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I had some more when I was about. I think I just started. About four or something. I vaguely remember something, but that's sort of like my first memories. I don't really remember the first ones, but
yeah. What did they do in the operation?
I think they took one of the fingers off, and they twist the thumb around so you've got opposing thumbs, whereas they just twist it around so you can get that pincer movement. Otherwise it's like fingers, you can't pick things up when you just rotated it around. But this one it went a bit wrong, so that's why that one's a lot smaller than the other ones. But
that's your left hand. Yeah. But,
it's never stopped me doing anything.
And do you have any recollection of those?
I vaguely remember her having my arm in a sling, but that's probably about as much as I remember. Mm. Yeah, I don't really remember much of the surgery or afterwards particularly. I just remember I've got photos of me with my arm in a sling, so I suppose that's, but I don't really remember like the actual operation.
Or the hospital, And do you have any idea at which point your parents knew that your impairment was caused by thalidomide?
I think they always knew. Because they always told me that it was thalidomide.
Yeah.
But they always sort of told me I was sort of one of the lucky ones. So, you know, sort of like, I should not quite count my chickens, but, you shouldn't, or you, because you didn't, I mean, people didn't like sue people in those days, did they?
No.
It was very, it just didn't happen, did it? Obviously the people with the really bad impairments, they needed more, didn't they? But, I was just sort of, you're one of the lucky ones,
Yes.
Which I've always thought I was, actually, because when I think for the length that my mum took it for, and some people's parents, mums only like took one tablet, and they've got no arms and legs. So
yes.
I believe
it's when
it's
in
exactly
the
exactly
it.
The time, isn't it? Yeah,
yes.
It's very much down to how many days pregnant you are, more or less, isn't it?
Yes. So if your mum took it when your arms were already formed, it wasn't going to do them any damage at that point.
Yeah.
So did you? Did your parents join the thalidomide society? No. That you know.
No, they weren't. Didn't do anything like that. So no.
And you didn't attend any of those events.
No. No. It's only when I sort of, after I had my hip replacements, I thought I'll, find out a bit about it, and that's how I joined the Thalidomide Society then, just to find out who to go to get compensation. So,
right.
Yeah, but that was only like, that was about 2000. No, it's just when I had my hip replacement, 1998, so it's probably about then.
But you were aware when you were growing up that there were other people affected by thalidomide with different levels of disability. And any idea how did that make you feel, that your parents saying you're one of the lucky ones?
Yeah. I've always thought I'm quite lucky really. When you sort of see people with, must be awful going around with no arms and legs, so yeah, I've always thought I've been quite lucky.
Well,
it's not really lucky, but
yes, but
but then I've never known any difference. So.
No.
Yeah.
So were you ever offered any help in the form of things like prostheses or technical gadgets or anything like that?
No, not at all. I never sort of had anything like that. I've just, I've always found a way around things, and
Yeah, and because your surgery sounds like it was quite successful.
Yeah, I mean, my mum always used to make me do like, maybe sort of do knitting and stuff, things, really fiddly things, I still do that sort of thing and cross stitch like with the really fiddly things, and
yes.
I think it sort of helped quite a bit.
to keep your fingers moving.
So it's
And did you go to a mainstream primary school?
Yeah.
Any problems or anything there with your impairments?
No,
your
not at all really.
What about friends and siblings? Did anybody notice or comment ever on your hands?
Not really, no. I don't think. I'm still friends with the friends I was at school with now.
Yes.
So we still see each other quite often, and they've never really, made any comments or anything like that. I don't think you do, because I think kids are quite accepting of things, aren't they? They tend to, obviously you get some of the not so nice people that might make comments, but I never really had a problem with it at all.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
And did you have any particular favourite subjects at school?
I always wanted to be a nurse. I used to like biology, and I liked sports. I used to like doing cross country running and hockey, and I was in the hockey team. And the light art, I was totally rubbish at it. But and needlework, so I used to like needlework.
Yeah, needlework's very relaxing, isn't it? And secondary school, you went to a mainstream secondary school as well?
Yep.
And did the school have to make any special changes? Or
No, not at all, no.
And did you carry on with roughly the same favourite subjects there?
Yeah.
So did you go on to be a nurse?
Yes, yeah, I did, yeah. I went to, because at that time you didn't need A-levels or anything, so I did a pre-nursing course where we just did some more sort of O-levels at the time. And then I went up, trained at the Royal Free in London. And so then I qualified about 1982, I think it was.
So in terms of your medical interventions, you had the operation on your hands when you were about 2 or 3.
Yeah.
And then you had the operation on your
kidney when I was 5.
When you were 5.
Yeah.
Do you remember that one?
The only thing I remember about that is because at that time your parents couldn't stay with you in the hospital. Mm. And I remember I had I always thought it was a plaster cast, but it probably was just a bandage around my, obviously where the scar was, and around my middle. And I remember the lift door shutting, and my mum going through the lift door, and the lift door shutting. I always remember that. And then one of the nurses taking me back to my bed. And
And you didn't want her to go?
No, it was because I was in hospital for about a month, so it was quite a long time.
Well, that is a long time, when you're so 5.
Yeah. I mean, poor mum must have felt awful at the time as well.
Yes.
Imagine leaving a child sort of. You just can't imagine it nowadays, can you?
Actually, no. But, I can't imagine leaving a 5-year-old.
Yeah. And apparently when I was, I don't remember any of this, but when I was sort of had in for my hands, because I was in about a month, I think, for those as well, I wouldn't talk to my mum and dad. Apparently they wouldn't let them pick me up or anything, sort of, when I came home from there.
Yeah.
I don't remember any of that, but that's what Dad said. He said he tried to pick me up, and I was totally, he couldn't pick me up. I was like jelly.
Yes. Yeah, because you were reacting to them.
Not being there, so,
Difficult, isn't it?
It was horrible. I can't imagine doing that to my kids. It must be a...
No, nor me.
But then that was normal then, wasn't it?
Yes.
And kids, you didn't stay with your
Babies were taken away from the mother as soon as they were born, weren't they? That was the normal thing. Mm. Whereas now they give you the baby straight away.
Yeah.
So it was a more detached relationship, wasn't it? But for a child to be away from home must be incredibly hard.
Yeah, I remember hiding under the sheets as well, It's quite scary. I mean, it must be really scary for a little one, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you, after school, did you go straight to train to be a nurse?
I went to college for 2 years, and then I went to do my training when I was 18.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you have any particular sort of branch of nursing you wanted to be involved with?
Not particularly, no.
What did you go into? Where did you start?
Where did I go? I started off on a neurology ward for probably about 7 or 8 months, and then I worked on an eye ward for about a year, and then I moved back down here again, and then I worked on an isolation ward, which had sort of leukemia patients and dermatology and all sorts of different sort of specialities. Mm. And I was there for about 8 years, I think I was.
Really, on that particular ward?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it was a really nice ward to work on, so.
Mm.
Yeah. And then I left there and worked on a treatment room, sort of, for about a year, and then I left and had my children, so haven't been back since. So.
So in total, you were nursing for about.
So 92.
About 12 years.
Yeah, it must have been that. Yeah, no. Yeah. Yeah. So 79 to 80, or 92. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And during that sort of time when you were, you know, say like end of your teenage years and your working career, did people talk to you then about thalidomide?
Not really, no. Not many people would know. I mean, as I say, you just don't tell them. I was quite good at, because I was always, you know, as a teenager, you're quite conscious about things like that. So I was always quite good at hiding my hands, you know.
Yes.
And people never really used to notice.
It
you
wouldn't
know.
Be something you nobody would notice.
No,
really.
Nobody would, you know. I've worked with somebody for quite a long time, and they'd never noticed, you know.
Yes, yeah.
So it was very, yeah.
And even, say, like close friends, was it something you felt you could talk about if you wanted to?
Well, I never really used to, actually.
And when you were nursing, had you left the family home at that point? Were you living independently?
I was when I was in London, then I moved back home again.
Yeah.
Well, then I got married and everything, so I was only there for. I came back about 1984, I think, and I got married in 87, so I was probably at home for about 3 years, I suppose. Mm. So.
Where did you meet your. Was that your first boyfriend, or did you have?
No, I had a few boyfriends sort of when I was up in London, things, but nothing sort of serious, you know.
And in any way, did your impairment affect your ability to get a job? Was that something you had to talk about when you went for an interview?
The only thing because I had about 1982, I had pyelonephritis, and then they sort of looked at my hips again and said, you know, you should be careful about doing any heavy lifting or anything like that. So they said don't work on like in any orthopedic ward or anywhere sort of really heavy. So I was advised to do sort of light sort of you know, boards, you know, which didn't have much lifting and anything like that. But that's the only thing really.
How did that come to light, the knowledge of that? Were you having problems?
Well, my hips were getting stiffer and, you know, more painful, you know, as the years sort of went on.
Yes.
Yeah, so, I saw a, what did I do? I had the pyelonephritis, and they found that I got it was getting worse. And then I sort of trolled along for a few years, and then it was getting it was really getting uncomfortable sometimes, not all the time. I mean, I could walk around and, you know, I was working, nurses are quite busy, aren't they? But I would be quite, you know, it would get quite uncomfortable sometimes. So, so my doctor referred me to an orthopaedic surgeon up at St Thomas's. So I saw him, and I had he suggested having a femoral osteotomy, which I had, which was horrible.
How old were you when you had
that? Was about 1989, I think I had that done. But it didn't really help that much.
Yeah.
Why
was it horrible? What was horrible?
It was just really painful. And it sort of twisted my leg round, so it was all in sort of it wasn't in a natural position, you know. It was really not very nice, you know.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't ride I used to like riding my bike, and I couldn't ride my bike because my leg, when you twisted my leg around, it was sort of, you know, sort of poking into the pedals and stuff. So it wasn't very nice. I didn't like that one at all. So.
No. Yeah. Do you think it helped with you in long term though?
Not really. No. Well, I don't know. Yeah, because you wanted to do the other leg as well, and I thought, I don't think it's made much difference. So then I saw the one at the doctor at St Thomas's had left, so my had retired, so my GP referred me to the consultant down here, and he said, well, the only thing I can really do here is to do a hip replacement. So that was back in 1998. And then he said, well, I have to do the other one as well for you to get any benefit from it. So.
And did you go through with that, the hip replacement?
Yeah. So I had that
So you had the two hips.
Yeah, I had one sort of about 3 months apart. So that was quite quite busy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd have a revision of the left one in January this year.
Mm.
So I had a pseudo tumour.
Mm.
And apparently I was very lucky because all the bone sort of behind the prosthesis had completely dissolved, and I actually had a hole in the top of my felt about an inch and a half hole. He said he was very lucky that the whole thing hadn't sort of collapsed through. He said it was sort of quite imminent. so that was quite lucky. So.
Was that painful for you?
No, I couldn't feel anything. It was quite scary actually, because I just felt, you know, quite, you know, how I had done for a few years, you know.
Yes.
And I had an X-ray, and he hiya.
Hello.
Hello. My son Matt, you all right?
Yeah.
You got Adam with you?
Yeah. Shall I just pause?
All right then.
You were talking about the hip.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was quite scary because I couldn't feel anything. It was...
Yeah.
It didn't feel... I mean, it was a bit... Like, you know, when I get to stand up sometimes, it'll be a bit like, ooh, you know, but, it, you know, then once I got going, I was fine, and I just didn't really think anything of it. And then I had an X-ray, and he said, sort of the bone... It doesn't show up on the X-ray very well, so the bone behind doesn't look quite right. So I think we better do a CT scan. So he had a CT scan, and he sort of phoned me up the next day. He said, "I think we better come and see her. Can I see you?" So I had a revision, and he said to put a big plate sort of on the top of the hole to plug the hole.
Yes.
So the only thing was holding me up was the muscle on the abdomen and the other side. He says,
"Isn't that amazing that you were getting around like that?" Still?
I know. I said, "Well, how come I haven't got any pain?" It was quite scary, really.
Yeah,
at least if you've got some pain, you probably go sooner, wouldn't you, and get something done about it. But that was quite scary. So,
when you were having things like those medical interventions, did you would that be a sort of an occasion where you'd talk about having your mum having taken thalidomide? Did that come into the sort of your medical picture, or were they just
I did sort of, you know, because I knew that the Petrugio was quite rare, and I talked about it with a consultant, you know, and he said he's done an awful lot of hips, and he said he hadn't actually seen, the only time he'd seen this particular problem was in a South African tribe or something that he said it's quite rare, so yeah. But I mean, a lot of people don't never heard of it, you know. So it's you don't.
And so you got in touch with the Thalidomide Trust.
This was the days before the internet, really. I went. I think I went to the Citizens Advice Bureau, and they found this Thalidomide Society's contact details. So I contacted them, and then they sent me the information and about who to contact. So
what year would that have been that you contacted them?
It was just after I had my hip done, so it was about 98, 99, something like that. I just thought, if it is due to thalidomide, because now I've had my hips done, you don't know what's going to happen in the future, and you think you might, you know, you might all sort of collapse and you'd be in a wheelchair or something, you know. Maybe you should do something about it. So that's what.
And how did that work out? And then you got put in touch with the Thalidomide Trust, presumably.
Not at that time. No, I went. They gave me the number of the solicitors at, up in Manchester, the Penunian Partners, is it? They use. And I got in contact with them, and then it sort of started. You know, they arranged for me to see Dr. Newman.
Yes, Cass Newman.
So I saw him, and then it. They were umming and ahhing about my hips for quite a while. It took 4 years, I think, in the end. But they were umming and ahhing about whether they were caused, you know, that was caused by thalidomide or what.
Yes.
But they couldn't sort of disprove it. So so in the end, about 4 years it took, and then they agreed that it was probably due to that. So luckily I. Much to my husband's relief, we agreed to pay up.
And did you get, so you got compensation through then?
Yeah.
And did you get a sort of a back payment of compensation?
Yes,
as well?
Yeah. So I got, was it 218,000 for the, you know, for all my what's wrong, and then I think there was another 100 and £138,000 in the trust.